The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Tov Howard, pretty good, thank you. What about you? How are you guys doing?
Absolutely fine. Really, really great. How are you doing, Zanati?
I'm good.
Yeah, there we go. Everybody's getting...
We have to do a shout-out for all the ladies who've been preparing for Pesach. Apparently, it's a very stressful time of year, and all these fantastic jokes are going around about, men who have been beaten up and have to lie in hospital for weeks because they've brought a crumb of bread into the house after his wife has been cleaning for 2 weeks to get it sorted out. So I have to shout out to all the ladies. And the men, actually, who've been cleaning up before Pesach.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. President Reuven Rivlin yesterday formally invited Prime Minister Netanyahu to form the next government. What are the next steps now, Anthony?
So as expected, I mean, there was no real surprise yesterday when the election results were formally presented to the president by the head of the election committee. And after that, he then called upon Prime Minister Netanyahu to form the next government, the fifth opportunity that Prime Minister Netanyahu has to be Prime Minister and the fourth time in succession. And so an interesting situation arising that within the next few months, Benjamin Netanyahu could become Israel's longest serving Prime Minister, surpassing over only David Ben-Gurion, who is still the longest serving Prime Minister, at least for the next few months. But we're expecting that that is likely to be surpassed pretty soon. And so what we expect is now that Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has formally been given 42 days, the law says 28 days, with a further 14 days at the president's discretion. The president already exercised his discretion. He's given Prime Minister Netanyahu 42 days, and I think that's probably because we're heading into the holiday period, and so there will obviously be a lot of downtime, at which time, you know, people will be with their families, and so not a lot of coalition work will be going on. So you could almost say, like, the counting of the Omer is like a countdown towards the formation of the next government within a week or so, one way or the other. So the 42 days has been granted. We understand that 65 seats out of the 120 indicated when asked that they would support Prime Minister Netanyahu as Prime Minister. But that's not a foregone conclusion because there's still a lot of work to be done. And particularly, as I've mentioned before, the whole issue of the Israel Beiteinu party under the leadership of Avigdor Lieberman, and the question as to whether they would be happy to sit in a coalition government with ultra-Orthodox parties. And the particular issue that Yisrael Beiteinu has is the issue of the draft law, the law that effectively currently doesn't exist, but which needs to be put into place and which will effectively give exemption to certain sectors of the ultra-Orthodox community from serving in the army. Lieberman has said he will not serve in a government that promotes a law like that. So he is entirely opposed to the idea of exempting the ultra-Orthodox community as a blanket exemption or subject to certain conditions, but something tantamount to a blanket exemption from serving in the military. And if, as expected, Lieberman might be offered the position of Minister of Defense, it will obviously give him an even stronger reason to oppose a draft law like that being implemented. So that's going to be an interesting one to see how that pans out. And therefore, it gives rise to some doubt as to whether, despite the fact that 65 seats have supported him, at least when the president did his interviews, it gives some doubt as to whether when the details are hashed out between the parties in the coalition agreements, whether Prime Minister Netanyahu's Likud party will in fact be able to secure the support of Israel Beiteinu. It's critical because they have 5 seats, and so those 5 seats are really needed in order to get over the 61-seat majority that's required to form a government. So our expectation is that if all goes according to plan and according to the timetable, before Shavuot, because it's going to be just a week less than the 49 days that we will start counting down to Shavuot. So just before Shavuot, we expect that a government or should be put together. And let's hope that it will be, because even waiting 42 days is quite a long time after the election until the government is actually constructed. But it's certainly going to be interesting, and it's not a foregone conclusion in spite of the seeming support that Prime Minister Netanyahu's Likud party has. So I think that there's still going to be a lot of interesting things to talk about between now and then.
Yeah, interesting as well that I read this morning that the famous peace plan that we've heard so much but know nothing about will really be revealed in June, and that's part of the decision is to wait until, of course, after Ramadan, but also after Israel has formed its new government.
That's true. I mean, this so-called peace plan that, you know, none of us really know if it really exists or not. But I noticed that the wording was quite careful. They said not before June. They didn't commit to actually publishing it in June.
I didn't pick
it said
that up.
Not before June. In fact, there was a quote. There was some White House advisor that did actually say in June, but I think most people are talking about not before June. And of course, the Palestinian Authority have now put a new government together, and they have a new prime minister. And he is already quoted as saying that the Trump administration has no partner from the Arab side, and certainly not from the Palestinian side. So they are already rejecting the plan before it's been presented, on the basis of the real breakdown in the relationship that has gone on between the Palestinian Authority and the Trump administration. So it's almost as if, though, it doesn't really matter what that peace plan might include. The Palestinians already lining up saying, we are going to reject it. Greenblatt has said, try work with us, see what we can do. But it seems as if, though, that particular relationship hardly exists at all. And as such, you know, even if the peace plan is revealed in June, as some people are suggesting it might be, I'm not sure really that it's going to be anything of any significance, given that the Palestinians are already rejecting it before it comes out.
Yeah, amazing that. Absolutely unbelievable. Great news. Madonna has agreed to appear at Eurovision. That's the song contest taking place May 18th in Tel Aviv. How has this been arranged?
Well, this is a great story because, of course, the Eurovision over the years has become really the butt of a lot of jokes, even though it is a song competition. But a lot of the songs that are presented at the Eurovision are not really worthy of an international stage. Some of them are quite strange songs, to be fair. Of course, Israel, having won the competition last year, is entitled to host the competition, and that's come with a lot of controversy. But Israel will be hosting the competition this year despite all of that controversy, and the competition will be held on May the 18th in Tel Aviv. A famous Israeli, a now famous Israeli, a recent immigrant to Israel, who has been involved in putting on some unbelievable events, obviously somebody with a lot of money behind him, who's able to sponsor these kind of events, but is also a great Zionist and has really done a lot to promote Israel's praise abroad. He is the person, a man called Sylvan Adams. He is the man who apparently stands behind this invitation that was made to Madonna to appear at the Eurovision Song Contest. And we understand that Madonna has agreed to appear, even though our friend Roger Waters, the former Pink Floyd man, has come out again, really castigating her. He, of course, has been one of the people at the forefront of the BDS movement, and he's been involved in trying to discourage international performers from coming to Israel and from performing here. And he hasn't disappointed us on this occasion, and he's come out trying to convince Madonna not to appear, and he's even written some quite heady stuff in the Guardian newspaper in England, and he's talked about Israel being apartheid and ethnic cleansing and all kinds of bad stuff, in his words, about Israel, and therefore he thinks that artists who perform in Israel, what he called them, they normalize apartheid and ethnic cleansing and things like that, which is a very unfortunate thing for him to say, and of course entirely untrue. The words apartheid and ethnic cleansing definitely don't apply to Israel, no matter what criticism you have may have of Israel, and you would have be justified to exercise criticism towards some aspects, but apartheid and ethnic cleansing can certainly not be justified.
Absolutely.
Incarceration of children and the slaughter of unarmed protesters. Those are the words of Roger Waters in the Guardian newspaper. Having said all of that, Madonna will be here. And of course, we're looking very much forward to her. Maybe it'll increase the quality of the competition and the quality of the performances.
It can only.
We hope so. And of course, Gal Gadot is supposed to also be one of the Israelis who will be appearing at the contest. And so we're looking forward to it very much. And of course, it's been publicized on the back of the fact that Jennifer Lopez will also be appearing as well separately.
She's
over
coming
the summertime.
I know, very excited about that. August the 1st, she's going to be at Hayat Kon.
Exactly.
Park.
She will be at Hayat Kon Park. So lots of international performers, despite Roger Waters' attempts to discourage them and to label Israel with all kinds of unjustified labels that he uses. But Madonna will be here May the 18th, so that's before the new government will be formed. We're very much looking forward to seeing how that might change the face of Eurovision. I think this is going to be the first time that I can recall that a really famous international star of the type like Madonna is actually appearing in this competition.
Incredible.
So hopefully it'll be a slightly different gig this time around than we've seen in the past few years.
Absolutely amazing. Anthony, Israel cleaned up, ready, sparkling, shining, and ready for Pesach. What is the tradition over the next few days? I remember reading a report that said most Israelis, whether they are secular or observant, will attend a Seder tomorrow evening.
So I saw a statistic that was once quoted that said more than 80% of Israelis will attend a Seder of some type or another. Let's not forget that a lot of Israelis are actually not Jewish, halachically or otherwise. But nevertheless, Seder night is Seder night in Israel for everybody. Absolutely everybody. And it would be highly unusual for anybody not to be involved in some sort of a Seder gathering of some sort, whether you do all the reading or you don't, whether you drink the four cups or you don't. And the fact is that people will get together. They will have a family affair or get together with friends. And that's really the tradition. And of course, even before the tradition, the supermarkets have been going crazy. I'm not quite sure what the matzah in South Africa is like this year or how much it is costing, but I can tell you that we've been buying a 2.5 kilogram pack of matzah for around 25 to 30 shekels in that sort of price range. The supermarkets are doing a brisk business in matzah and all kinds of Pesach Dikka goods. And of course, the supermarkets in Israel will not allow people over the time of Pesach to buy anything that is not kosher for Pesach. So supermarkets literally close aisles off and they cover goods over with big bits of paper. They literally cover things over so that you can't get to them if they are not kosher for Pesach. So during Pesach, it's only kosher for Pesach stuff in the official supermarkets. And so there is no doubt at all that everybody will be feeling the Pesach the Pesach season in one way or another. At work, it's generally a commonplace for employers to give employees some sort of a gift for Pesach, be it a gift card of some sort that people can go and spend somewhere. I've noticed this year that there are a lot of pot plants being given away for Pesach, which is an interesting kind of green development. I saw a whole lot of people walking down the street with the pot plants that they'd been given from their work as their Pesach gift, to try and encourage a bit of greenery around Israel. So that's an interesting development. And of course, tomorrow the skies will be filled with smoke as everybody burns the chametz. The municipality generally puts up areas which are protected so that fires can't be caused by individuals going off and burning their chametz. And it's quite traditional for people to burn the chametz with their lulav from Sukkot of last year. So people will have retained the lulav and people will be going down to these protected areas that the municipalities put up all over the city, municipalities around Israel, and they will be burning the chametz. There will be a smell of burning bread in the air for sure. And of course, let's not forget the fast of the firstborn. Fortunately, I'm not one of them, but of course there are some people who are, so they will be doing the fast of the firstborn in the Siyum. And all that really remains is for me to wish all of you guys a Pesach Kasher V'Sameach. I hope that your Seder night is traditional and meaningful, and we will all remember the miracles of how we actually got to this holy land in the first place. And I will be back on Monday as usual to talk about some of the things that are happening over Chol HaMoed in Israel.
Absolutely fantastic. Anthony Rach, you have a Chag Sameach V'Kasher. Hope you have a fantastic one with the family, and we'll catch up with you next week. Time is 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Zanati.